I have a potentially controversial teacher question to drop on you right now, and I need you to know in advance that this could elicit some emotion. I need you to know in advance that this could create some debate, some strong feelings, some broken hearts, quite frankly. So here's the question. If you could only pick one of these two companies to continue making education products, what would you pick? In other words, which is the better teacher company, Crayola or Ticonderoga? I need you to know that I am not being sponsored by either one of those companies right now, but I think that as teachers, we've got very strong opinions about Crayola crowns. We know which is better. We also have strong opinions about Ticonderoga pencils. They claim to be the world's best pencils. So, if you had to pick one or the other, which would you pick? What if I told you that you had to back up your answer with a story? What if I told you you had to back up your answer with evidence from your very own classroom? Could you do it? Probably yes. See, what's happening right now is we are creating the battlegrounds for a battle bracket. What is a battle bracket? Where we put eight things up against each other in head-to-head battles, and at the end, only the best stands. Only one can win. Battle brackets are something that I use in my classroom all the time, and I know that a lot of you are loyal listeners and have tried these and found them to be wildly successful in your own classroom. But there's a question that gets asked of me a lot. Monica, how do you use battle brackets in your own classroom? And so what I'm going to do in this very special episode is give you the exact framework of how I form awesome lessons from these battle brackets. I'm going to give you lots of strategies, lots of ideas, and then you can totally take these battle brackets and let them unfold in your classroom. This is going to be not only a fun episode, but a very informative episode. If you've used battle brackets before, stick around. If you've never used them before, stick around, because it is going to be an advantageous adventure for all of us. Let's get into it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. Now, to go back to the original question that I told you in the preview of this episode about Crayola versus Ticonderoga, which would I actually pick? Well, my very first instinct is to pick Ticonderoga pencils because I use those on a daily basis. They are literally the world's best. The pencil sharpener does not eat those. But then the moment that came out of my mouth, I was like, but what about that box of 100 Crayola crowns where there was a sharpener in the back of it? I remember getting that as a kid and thinking, like, my parents are rich. My parents are the best. My parents definitely saved up for this blessed gift for me, because like 100 crayons, brand new ones with a pencil sharpener in their back, that was freaking the best. And the cerulean crown was for sure my favorite. So if I had to pick, if I was forced to vote one or the other, where would I go? I'm choosing Ticonderoga. I'm going with my first instinct. See, that's what happens when we play battle brackets. And I use the word play because that's what it feels like. Battle brackets feel like a game to kids. But quite frankly, we're leveraging these for learning. These battle brackets can be used in any subject area, any grade level, any abilities. They are so dynamic. I use these as a science teacher. Last year when I taught math, I used them in math. I use them for morning meeting, advisory, social and emotional learning. I do these all the time because it's really about creating a dynamic discussion with your students. So let's talk about how we actually get that dynamic discussion going. If you've never seen a bracket, if you've never seen one of my battle brackets, I actually have examples of these that you can look at on my website. You can go to monicagenta.com/brackets. I've got science brackets if you're a science teacher. I've got elementary curriculum brackets if you teach in a K through fifth or sixth setting. If you've got an SEL time, an advisory, a morning meeting time, a homeroom time, if you are a school counselor, I've got tons of great relationship building brackets. But the way that it works is there are 8 things on these brackets, and we have to figure out as a classroom family what is the ultimate winner, because only one of those things can actually win. So I've actually got one pulled up in front of me, and I thought this one was fun because it feels great for lots of different seasons of the year. It's a battle bracket, lots of chocolates. 'Tis the season for, you know, stocking stuffers, and chocolate feels like a great stocking stuffer. This would also be great for Valentine's Day because chocolate is very popular around then. This could be great around Halloween. Very, very diverse times of the year where this would be an awesome battle bracket. And in the top left-hand corner of this bracket, there are M&Ms going head-to-head against Hershey Kisses. Ooh, very popular chocolates here. And so if this was happening in my own classroom, I might start with what's called a super secret vote. So people are always like, how do you do these, Monica? One of my favorite strategies is a super secret vote. So kids literally put their hands up, but their heads are down. They can't be sneaky peekers. They can't be looking around the room to figure out what are my friends voting for, because I want to get an honest opinion as a whole classroom family. So let's say I've got 22 kids in the class. All of the kids put their heads down and I say, raise your hand if you are team M&Ms. And the kids raise their hands. No sneaky peekers, no cheater pants. They raise their hands and I count those up in silence. And I'm like, okay, raise your hand if you are team Hershey Kisses. And the kids silently raise their hand and I count up those votes. So then the kids put their hands down and their heads up. And I'm like, okay, in the round of mini M&Ms versus Hershey Kisses, there was a vote of 12 to 10. And the kids were like, oh! And the item moving forward are M&Ms, okay? So that's really quick. We can collect a very fast vote by doing super secret voting. That is one way that you could do the entire bracket, is simply by having kids super secret vote. Now, depending on the dynamics in your classroom, it doesn't have to be secret. You could have the kids just raise their hand and vote in that way. Super low engagement, but at the same time, you're going to get 100% of kids engaging by simply raising their hand. So I think that's a great starting point. And because there were more votes for the M&Ms, that would be moving on to the next round. It has made it to the final four. But in the next round, we've got, we got a Kit Kat versus a Crunch Bar. Similar styles, right? There's that chocolate with a little bit of crunch, but there's the wafer crunch versus the rice crunch. So in this round, what if I wanted to boost up engagement just a little bit? I think kids raising their hand for voting is quick and it's effective, but what if I wanted to dive a little bit deeper? Well, then we could go around the room and all kids would have to say is Kit Kat or Crunch. So I could go around to all 22 kids and I could point to each of them and all they would have to say is Kit Kat or Crunch. I could collect votes in that way. It's a pretty fast, effective way to get it, but then at least kids are speaking. At least then we can hear from them. We can hear their voice. When the final bell rings, every single kid would have said something. So I just get out a note card and I go around the room and I collect votes. And the kids are like, Kit Kat, Kit Kat, crunch, 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 Kit Kat, Kit Kat, crunch, crunch. And I love this because kids will definitely show their excitement based off of their tone of voice. Some kids are like, crunch. And other kids are like, crunch, which is really cool because then we can hear from their inflection how they really feel about each of those things. And so that actually brings us to the next point in this. In the next round, you could take it to a whole nother level because versus the Kit Kat and the crunch, in the class of 22 kids, it was 18, and I got to do the math real quick to six. Is that right? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. No shit. I did the math wrong. We're not editing. This is an unedited podcast. If there are 22 kids in the class and 18 kids voted for Kit Kat, that would mean 4 voted for Crunch. I don't have students in front of me right now. The only thing in front of me is this battle bracket and my microphone. So forgive my math. It's probably a good thing I'm not teaching math this year. Nonetheless, you can use these in math for the record. But the wafer bar, the Kit Kat, would move forward to the next round because it got more votes. And we also heard every single kid's voice. But now I'm kind of curious. Like, why did some kids vote for the Kit Kat? Why did some kids ask or vote for the crunch? We could ask them. We could say, all right, I'm going to pull a few popsicle sticks, or I'm going to call on a few of you and I want to know why you placed that vote. Tell me why you picked crunch. Tell me why you picked Kit Kat. Then at least we're creating some more conversation. We're digging just a little bit deeper. For the next round, we've got the Hershey's bar and we've got the Toblerone. Am I saying that correctly? The Toblerone. So we've got American chocolate versus, I believe, Swiss chocolate. Now, there are going to be instances where kids might not have ever experienced the thing on the bracket. They've never tried it. They don't know about it. They've never celebrated it. They've never played it, whatever the bracket is. And so that is an opportunity for kids to kind of say, well, if you had to pick one, or if you got to pick one, what would you pick? Because in every single round of my battle brackets, it's 100% participation. Every single kid is opting in by voting in some way. So let me give you another remix that I really like on how to vote that gets a lot of data, because I'm a science teacher and I love data. So what if we did a hand raise type of thing for this Hershey's bar versus Toblerone? But instead of just raising their hand, they gave it a review. What I mean by that, if we think of like Yelp reviews, if we think about, you know, Amazon reviews, you can give things 5 stars. 5 being like the best, 1 being like that's trash. That is a crappy product. So what if when they voted on this next one, they were raising their hand, but they were also having fingers up that indicate stars? So you could only choose American bar or Swiss bar. But when you vote for it, you're also giving me a 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1. So I can collect some data. So if it was American bar versus Swiss bar, I would choose the Swiss bar. That feels a little bit fancier. Okay, that feels a little bougie. So I would vote for the Swiss bar. I would vote for the Toblerone if I was doing this. And I would raise up a 4. And then the teacher could call on me and be like, okay, Monica, thank you for your vote of Toblerone. I see you had a 4. Tell me why a 4. And I could say something along the lines of, well, because it feels fancier. All right. Doesn't feel as common. I don't have Toblerones very often, but it would be fun to have it. But I gave it a 4 because I don't actually know the taste of it. I want that bar more, but I can't remember if it's super sweet. Is it super smooth? Does it taste cheap? I don't remember. So I'm giving it a 4 because I'm not 100% confident that it's a 5. Guess what? What awesome insight. And then maybe kids in the class are going to be like, I'm telling you, it's such a smooth chocolate. Like, I really like it because it's a different shape. A Hershey's bar is just those kind of rectangles. Toblerone has like a cool shape to it. Again, creating awesome conversations. So then once you counted up the votes on that, maybe the Toblerone is moving on. So now we've got M&M's moving forward, the Kit Kat moving forward, the Toblerone moving forward, and I'm not confident I'm saying that right. I'm like, Toblerone. Toblerone? I think I'm saying it too many times and now I'm in my head on this. Probably a good thing I don't teach English. You know, we all have our strengths and mine is science and also SEL, which is why these brackets even came to be. I actually created these originally for my advisory / SEL classes. I actually use these with students on a definitely monthly basis, sometimes bi-weekly basis for advisory and relationship building time. Okay. Well, the last thing on this lots of chocolate bracket is the Snickers versus the Three Musketeers. And can I be very honest with you? I'm tempted to say neither because I think they're both trash. Because somebody in your classroom is going to say something like this. I don't like chocolate. And some of you are like, you take that back. You take that back. Chocolate is amazing. And some of you are like, nope, I agree. I'd rather have Starburst and Skittles. I am team Starburst, Skittles, Sour Patch Kids. If I had to pick between a Snickers and a Three Musketeers, I am choosing Snickers. And some of you are like, no, it's all about that Three Musketeers. It's got that like fluffy nougat mousse kind of stuff in there. Well, guess what we could do? We could host a debate, friends. If somebody in the classroom is hardcore about being on Team Snickers and somebody in the class is hardcore about the Three Musketeers, well, guess what? We're going to invite those two kids up to the front of the room for a dynamic debate. We are going to say, come on up, because you're going to give a 1-minute persuasive speech to convince the class to join Team Snickers. And the other person is going to give a 1-minute dynamic debate to convince the class that they are Team Three Musketeers. Oh, shoot. Are you seeing what's happening? We went from kids closing their eyes and raising their hands on a battle bracket to having kids passionately come up to the front of the room and persuade all of their peers to vote for a friggin' candy bar. If they can debate on a candy bar, they can debate about vertebrates. They can debate about countries. They can debate about parts of speech. Kids are building skills during battle brackets that will absolutely transcend and increase the laughing and the learning in your curriculum, in your subject area. That's what's up. Now, I'm going to tell you more details about these battle brackets in the second part of this episode. I do not want you to miss this, so stick around because we're going to dive just a little bit deeper. Battle brackets came to be because I was focusing on people. And I think that's what you do in your classroom too, right? We as teachers understand that in order to get kids to be open to our curriculum, they first have to be open to connecting with us on a life level. That's what I call the rooted classroom. The rooted classroom is all about building ridiculously strong relationships with students so we can see the fruits of education. And I want you to know that this is the last call to get signed up for the Rooted Classroom course that's happening in December. What is the Rooted Classroom course? It is packed with tons, literally hundreds of ideas that are gonna get your kids connecting, communicating, creating a great classroom culture, just like battle brackets. If you like battle brackets, you will literally love the Rooted Classroom course because it's 21 days worth of ideas that are easy to implement, super fun for students, quite frankly, super fun for you as the teacher, and they are going to change the dynamics in your classroom in such a positive way. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses to get signed up. That's Monica, GENTA.com/courses. There is a direct link in the show notes, but I'm telling you, if you like this episode, if you are passionate about relationship building, if you want to break down the walls that some of your students have built, it's about battle brackets, it's about pausing for people, and it's about creating the rooted classroom. Check out monicagenta.com/courses to get signed up for this super affordable, super fun, super flexible virtual PD. Never done an online course before? That's okay. I promise that this is worth checking out. So in the first part of this episode, we got down to the final four, which is M&M's, Kit Kats, Toblerone, and guess what? Snickers won. Just hypothetically, Snickers won. So now we've got a final four. Some kids are super excited because their favorite made it to the finals, and some kids are not that excited because their favorite got out in the first round. So now we've narrowed it down, and I love having full classroom conversations from here. Sometimes I let kids move around the room and they get to move to place their vote. It's like four corners, right? Like at the skating rink. Did you guys ever play four corners at the skating rink? Oh, so much fun in the 90s. But you can actually have kids move and say, all right, the left corner at the front of the room is M&M's. The right corner at the front of the room is Toblerone. The back corner in the left side of the room is the Kit Kat, and so on. And you can have kids move to see, all right, what does this look like? And then you can have kids vote in their corners. This is one of these things where, depending on how much time you have, depending on how much conversation is unfolding, you can be flexible on these. Because people always ask, Monica, how long do these take you? And I will say, if you got 3 minutes, you can do an entire bracket. You could literally do an entire bracket in 3 minutes. It'd be quick, it'd be fun, it'd be effective. But you're not going to get a lot of depth. But if you've got 3 minutes, heck yes. I also have had debates that last a long time and discussions last a long time. So one bracket can end up taking 2 full class periods. Especially if you are doing this in a content area like science or English or math or social studies, heck yes, use that time. If something is cooking great conversation and great connections, my policy is keep cooking, okay? So anywhere from, 3 minutes to 3 class periods, I would say. Another option is to do one of these battle brackets for an entire week, one bracket over the course of an entire week, and spend 5 minutes per class period. So you're kind of chunking it. It's almost like a brain break. Using these as a brain break and doing one section of the bracket per day for the whole week, absolutely, that's a great win. People often ask me, Monica, do you print yours? Do you print these and give these to kids? When you buy all of the brackets, you get 2 different versions. You get the beautiful PDF versions, and you also get the very helpful PNG versions, which are like picture files. So I think a lot of teachers are like, print these and give these to kids. Personally, I never print them, okay? I never print them and I never upload them to technology. And I just want to give you my just personal opinion on this. You can disagree with this opinion. Totally can't, and I respect it. But for me personally, with my teaching style and the way that I prefer to connect with kids, I never put these on a computer. I never upload these to Google Classroom. Because if I want to connect with kids, I actually want them to disconnect from Wi-Fi. If I want to connect with humans, if I want to connect with people, I want them to disconnect from the internet. I want them to disconnect from their device. So I don't do these digitally. I do these as a whole class conversation. I also don't print these. Because I think sometimes when we print them, we forget about the people. And when we print them, it's easy to forget that the whole goal is to have discussions. I can also see, depending on the age and the behaviors and the ability of your kids, maybe printing is the better option for your people. I could see in some settings where you're like, no, I really want kids to write on these. I really want kids to have some thoughts and some reflection before we discuss it because that's better for my students. Hell yeah. I support that. But how do I do it? Full class discussion every single time. Now, in science class, sometimes I like to take these to a whole new level because sometimes I will have them printed. We have the whole class conversation first, and then I say, all right, if you voted that the amphibian was better than the reptile, prove that they're better by giving me 5 facts about amphibians. Oh, shoot. You see what just happened there? Now we're providing not proof of opinion, but proof of learning, proof of connection. Holy crap. You guys, these battle brackets aren't just some like kitschy game. Does it feel like a game to kids? Absolutely. And I'm okay with that. But I think we as awesome educators, we as intelligent professionals realize that the structure is for students, but the discussion is to create a classroom dynamic where everybody is learning, but it's disguised as some special activity. I think we're really good at that. I think as teachers, we're really good at getting kids to engage by simply changing the structure. And we know the structure works. Look at things in real life. When March hits, people lose their mind over battle brackets in the form of March Madness. I want to be intentional about pausing this episode right now because I want you to know that you have access to all of the brackets that I have ever made. I have bundled all of these brackets into sets so you are ready to not waste any teacher time. Don't have any stress over school. Literally take the brackets that I have already created and curated for you and then go have a great time with students. What's awesome about my battle bracket bundles is not only do they include the brackets, but I have actually created specific dynamic discussion questions that I am 100% confident will create even more conversation in your classroom. Not to mention, if you are buying my curriculum battle bracket bundles, some of them include projects. Some of them include some sort of activity to bring the curriculum to great new heights. I understand as teachers, we don't have time to always be creating content, which is why I have created these for you. They're beautiful, they're engaging, they're affordable, and they are super fun to use. Check out monicagenta.com/brackets, and I'll put that link in the show notes so you can go directly to get all of these battle brackets. Also, don't forget to check out in the show notes the link to the Rooted Classroom course because this is the last call. This course is happening in December and there is still time for you to get signed up. Battle brackets are amazing. The Rooted Classroom course is going to be amazing. You are amazing. Thank you for listening to this episode, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.